Well, thanks to the family for the flute special and also singing the love of God. I apologize to the rest of you. It's sort of a family affair today. But from my perspective, that's a good thing. So I appreciate you joining us with us here today. And I trust that it's going to be a great day as we celebrate the 161st anniversary of our church, and also you helping me to celebrate 60 years in the ministry. And a while back, I read in the Baptist Trumpet, I think, our Arkansas State paper, one of the pastors who had been in the ministry for 50 years, and he had his picture in there and everything, and telling about it in the special celebration. And so I thought, well, you know, that would be a good thing. And I sort of laid a hint or two down. But with all the business that's been going on, I had totally forgotten about it. Until last night, one of my granddaughters called, and I answered the phone. She wanted to talk to Granny. So I called Granny, and she got on the phone, and then Granny said, "Dale, get off the phone." And I knew something was up. And then, of course, when I walked in this morning, first person I saw was Barbara Yuknovich, our dear long-time friend, missionaries in Taiwan for how long, 40 years or so? And one of the first people that we got to know and learn to love after we went to Taiwan as missionaries in 1961. And I knew something was up because, you know, Barbara, in fact, she and her husband Stan donated this piano to the church, and they've been special friends for us for a long time. Well, I may appear to be a little discombobulated today because of all of this, but if you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35, and we're going to read verses 1 through 15 for our scripture text this morning. And I will ask you, if you will, to stand with me as we read this passage of scripture together. Our subject this morning is Return to Bethel. Then God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau your brother." And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you, purify yourselves, and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and has been with me in the way which I have gone." So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands, and the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree, which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the terebinth tree. So the name of it was called Elon Bakuth. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name." So he called his name Israel. Also God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give to you and to your descendants after you. I give this land. Then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him Bethel, or Bethel. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. I'm going to ask my brother Gerald if he will lead us in this prayer. Amen. You may be seated. Again, delighted to have all of our guests here today, and we welcome you to the service. And I think that we have several from the Torch of Faith. Pastor Fidel Garcia and some of his congregation are here with us, and we certainly welcome them and thank them for coming and joining us on this special day. And trust that God is going to continue to bless their ministry. Return to Bethel. Well, this time of the year is graduation time across the country and around the world. And, of course, this is a special time in the lives of graduates. And I remember shortly after we came to this church in 2002, Doyle and Jeannie Gatlin. Doyle was the only deacon and the treasurer of the church, and Jeannie was the church pianist and the church clerk. And their son graduated from high school. And they had the graduation announcement here at the church. And on his graduation announcement, it had this motto: Respis, Adspis, Prospis. And I'm not a Latin expert, but I like the translation: remember the past, consider the present, look to the future. Today, here at First Baptist Church of Las Colinas, we're celebrating our 161st anniversary as a church. I want to speak on the subject, Return to Bethel, based on Jacob's return to Bethel in Genesis chapter 35 that we have just read. I believe God has a message for us today from this scripture. And so my 3 points for the sermon today will be based on those 3 Latin words, respis, adspis, prospis. And I'm not a Latin expert, so I may not be pronouncing that correctly. Point number 1, remember the past. Point number 2, consider the present. Point number 3, look to the future. And so as we consider the first point, remember the past, you know the life of Jacob. And so, remembering Jacob's past, if we go over to Genesis chapter 28 and we read about the life of Jacob and about his birth, and he was a twin, his older brother Esau. And Jacob, when he was born, had a hold of his brother's heel. And so he was given the name of Jacob, which meant supplanter. And so all of Jacob's life, he had lived up to that name. He had been the supplanter. We could turn and read about the time that Esau had been out hunting, and he came back and he was tired and he was starved, and Jacob was there boiling a pot of red beans. We West Texans like red beans, okay? But there he was, and it smelled so good and looked so delicious. And so Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of porridge, a bowl of red bean soup. And then later, Jacob cheated his brother Esau out of the blessing. You remember that story, how Mother Rebekah dressed him up, had the sheepskin, the goat skin on him, so that he would appear to be hairy like his brother, and in that way he was able to deceive his father Isaac and receive the elder son's blessing. Well, needless to say, by this time Esau was fed up. And he was out to get Jacob. He wanted to kill Jacob. And because of that, Jacob had to run for his life. And you know that story, how he ran away to Uncle Laban back in his mother Rebekah's hometown. But on his journey, he came to a place and he slept there with a rock for his pillow. And that night, God appeared to him. He had this dream of a ladder going from earth to heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending on that ladder. And God appeared to him and spoke to him. And the Bible says, then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And so God appeared to him, and God let him know, you are my chosen one, and you are the one who is to serve me and to live for me. And God also at that same time renewed the covenant that God had made with his grandfather Abraham and with his father Isaac. In verses 13 and 14 it says, the land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This was the covenant that God had made with Abraham, with Isaac, and now with Jacob. And it was a unilateral covenant that God had made, because God is Almighty God. God is creator of heavens and the earth. God is sovereign. And so God says, I have given you this land. And I believe that today that covenant is still in effect, and that one day that covenant that God made originally with Abraham will be fully fulfilled on the earth. And then there's God's promise. Verse 15 of chapter 28. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. You see, God is a faithful God. And I'm glad we sang that hymn this morning, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Because Jacob learned that the God he believed in and served was a faithful God. A God who did not abandon his promises. But he was faithful in fulfilling. Despite the fact that sometimes we stray from the Lord's will and from the path that he would have us to travel, even as Jacob did. And yet God is faithful. And I hope that you will forgive me if today I have a personal testimony about returning to Bethel. Because you've heard me speak, you are members of the church, about my growing up years and going to that old Shinra Lake Missionary Baptist Church. And that is my Bethel. That is the place where I was saved by the grace of God. And I was sitting on about the third or the fourth pew back when God reached down from heaven and saved my soul. And it's such a wonderful thing that God has been faithful to me all of these years. So that old Shinry Lake Missionary Baptist Church is my Bethel. It's the place where my mother went to school until she was through the eighth grade. And it's where I went to church from birth to the ninth grade. But you see, I think every Christian, we need to have our Bethel. The place that we can go back to and that will help us anchor our faith and know that God is with us always. I have an advantage over most of you, however. Now, that old Shinry Lake Missionary Baptist Church out in 10 miles north of the town of Aspermont, Texas, which is about 200 miles west of here. And every time we would come home from Taiwan and were able to go out to that area, I always, Barbara and I or whoever was with me, would go out to that, where that old church, they closed the doors of the church when I was in the ninth grade. We moved to town and they started a new church there. But I always like to go back to that place because that was the place where I came to know the Lord. Sadly, the last time I went, the old building had got into such a state of disrepair that they had to use a bulldozer and just bulldozed it down, burned it, and it's all gone there except for the place. And I know where that place is. But I said, I have the advantage over most of you because one of those trips that we made went back to Shinry Lake. I decided I'm going to collect some boards from that church. And so up there hanging on the wall on the right side of the banner are boards that were taken as close as I could figure to the place where I was standing when I was saved by the grace of God. And a few years ago, and those boards hang on the wall of my study at home. And a few years ago, my family made this plaque, and it hangs with those boards. And it says, Richard Dale Thornton, born May 2nd, 1936, reborn 1946. This board is from the floor of the old Shinry Lake Missionary Baptist Church in Aspremont, Texas, where I was standing when I was reborn by God's grace. And so that is a treasure to me because I have my Bethel right there in my study where I work and study and pray every day. What a blessing. But it gets even better than that because on that particular trip, Steve and Belinda went with us. And so I guess it was last Christmas. We draw names in our family, and Steve drew my name, and so this was his gift to me. Now, to you, it looks like a piece of lumber that ought to be burned up or discarded or thrown away or whatever. But this is the end of one of the pews there in that old Shinry Lake Baptist Church where I grew up. And so, again, I have this in my study to remind me that I was sitting on one of these pews the day I was saved by the grace of God. And by the way, I apologize. The boards are not level. And that bugs me, but you'll just have to forgive me for that. So, that's my return to Bethel. What about First Baptist Church of Las Colinas? Here we are, 161 years since God first planted this church about 2 or 3 miles west of here, over in the western outside perimeter of DFW Airport. And if you're driving along there on the access road going north on 360, you'll see a sign, Bear Creek Cemetery. And this church began there. And I'm discovering, well, anyway, I wanted to share with you some things from the minutes. Our church is very unique in that even though we're 161 years old, we have all of the minutes and records of the church going back to May the 15th, 1853. We have them in downtown Dallas. They're kept there in safely for us by the Baptist Historical Collection, and we appreciate that. But let me just give you a few things. Our foundation, on May the 15th, 1853, there were 9 charter members, I'm not going to read all of those articles of faith, but Article 2 says, "We believe that the Old and New Testaments are of divine authority and is the only rule of faith and practice." And I've gone through the minutes. In fact, one of the descendants of one of the charter members transcribed the first book, which goes from 1853 to about 1875. And I've gone through that, and just a few items that, if you will permit me, to read for you this morning, some of the interesting items. January the 4th, 1854, on motion, the church took up the case of building a meeting house and appointed a building committee to superintend the building of said house, also to procure a bond from Isham Crowley, one of the charter members, for 2 acres of land donated to the church by him on Sunday. And this is talking about the first building that the church had in our 161-year history. On August the 4th, 1855, they paid Mr. E. Rogers $120 for putting up the meeting house. And on May the 2nd, 1863, Brother Summer reported that he had not been able to procure wine for sacramental purposes, therefore must postpone communion indefinitely. And February the 4th, 1865, Jane Cruz excluded because she joined the Methodist Society. On June the 30th, 1866, Minter's Chapel Methodist preacher challenges Baptists to debate on the mode of baptism. Bear Creek endorsed their pastor to meet Reverend Bates in debate. October the 4th, 1868, on motion voted that the committee appointed at a former meeting of the church draft a plan and obtain means to erect a suitable church house, be instructed to proceed immediately to the discharge of said duties. So this will be the second building in the history of the church. January the 2nd, 1869, on motion and second, the church voted to build a house of worship on the site where the old meeting house now stands. December 31st, 1870, voted that the church donate the old church house to Brother Carter, who was the pastor of the church. Fantastic idea. September the 15th, 1873, voted to tax the members to raise funds for the new building. Hey, another novel idea. Let's tax the members. January the 3rd, 1874, the building committee reported that the wealth of the church was about $40,000 and would need to tax the members at 5% of their wealth to raise the $2,000 needed for the new building. Wow. That'd just catch on. But on May the 2nd, 1874, voted to rescind the order passed by the church to raise means to build a church house by taxation. So evidently it didn't go over too good. May the 16th, 1874, resolved that the building committee be instructed to proceed to purchase materials for the erection of a house of worship and collect means for said purposes as opportunity may offer. And so evidently they, in either late in 1874 or 1875, they finally completed that second building. On February the 6th, 1875, ordered that the trustees proceed to procure a deed to 4 acres of land from Isham Crowley for burying ground and yard where the church house now stands. October the 2nd, 1875, church house painted and seats paid for in the amount of $26.70. And 1876, Esham Crowley deeded 4 acres of land to church trustees in 1876. And then finally, October the 1st, 1887, in the minutes of the church, resolved that Bear Creek Church and Church House be moved to the place known as the Goodfella Schoolhouse. The church building that was built in 1875, they moved it to County Line Road over in the middle of what is now DFW Airport. It was interesting. Yesterday I went to the Bear Creek Cemetery Association meeting, and there was an very elderly gentleman there who used to be a member of this church. And he had a lot of recollection, knew a lot about the past history of the church. And he said that they put the church building, they jacked it up, put it on trailers, and they brought it all the way from over on the west side of DFW Airport to the middle, County Line Road. Then, of course, in 1970, they met in that same building that was built in 1875 until the Airport Authority building DFW Airport. They had to move, and they moved to this present location. And this building is the third building in the history, 161-year history of this church. And I'm wondering, Brother Fidel, when we're going to be able to get our fourth building. But we'll leave that in God's hands for right now. All right, point number two, and I'm going to have to hurry up. Consider the present for Jacob. Jacob is in a place. God has said to him, you know, you need to go back to Bethel. And so, return to Bethel. Arise, go up to Bethel. Why? Why does God want him to go back to Bethel? To renew his faith, because in all of those years, Jacob the supplanter had been a man who lived by his own wits. He had pretty much ignored God and left God out of his life and lived his life according to the way he thought was a good idea instead of trusting God. But God said to Jacob in chapter 35, 1, then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. And there are times when we get away from God and we stray away from His will, and we need to go back to our Bethel, wherever that is. It may not be even be a geographical location for you, but a place where you can go and know that I can connect with God. That I can go back to the time and the place when God saved me by His marvelous grace and get me back on track for Him. That's what God wanted to do for Jacob. And so Jacob had to make some preparations. And the preparations were found in verse 2a. Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. So during this long sojourn of 20 years or more that he had been with Laban, y'all forgive me, I'm being distracted because my old college classmate has just walked in the door. I've got some serious critique. I'm glad he didn't hear all of the sermon. Dr. Philip Bryan, who was for many years the president of our seminary, he was my classmate, and he was also my professor at the seminary. And we appreciate them being able to come. And his wife, lovely wife, Janice, thank you for coming. So God had said to Jacob, go back to Bethel. And he said, put away your idols. Because sometimes over that long sojourn, you remember when they left Laban, that his wife Rachel stole the family idols. And this was a big thing. And along the way, as they had sojourned in different areas among peoples who worshiped different gods, they may have accumulated those gods. But now God says to Jacob, put away your idols. And so finally, Jacob does that. He collects all of the family idols and they're buried there underneath that terebinth tree. And then God said, purify yourselves. Change your garments. You're going to begin to live for me. You've got to be unique. You've got to be different. Purify yourselves. Live a holy and a godly life for me. May God help us as First Baptist Church to do the same. And then he says, consider the Lord's blessings. Despite the fact that Jacob didn't have his focus on God, yet God had blessed him because Jacob was God's chosen one. And I'm here to tell you this morning that every one of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are God's chosen ones. We are unique, we are special, and God wants us to put away all of those things in our lives that will hinder us from being what God wants us to be, and to purify ourselves, to cleanse ourselves, and to live holy for God. And so now, this is the third physical address that this church has had in all these 161 years. Humanly speaking, it's not an ideal location. If someone was looking for a place to plant a new church, this might not be the location that they would look for. But I think it was chosen by God. God is blessed. And so, as we consider the present for our church, we need to ask, what is God's purpose for us? Why are we here? And then we need to, like Jacob, do whatever is necessary to put away our idols and to purify ourselves, to get right with God, to get in the place where God can use us. Because think of the blessings that God has poured out on our church. I tell you what, this last few years has been an exciting ride. I sometimes have to pinch myself. Most of you know that I just turned 78. And when I was younger, I expected that by the time I got to be 78, I'd be turned out to pasture. But God is doing such great things. And we thank Him for that. I thank you for coming faithfully and giving me the chance to preach to you every Sunday. What a blessing. Point number three, look to the future. And I'm just going to do this hurriedly. We've got a lot of things on the program today. But first of all, look to the future for Jacob. A new name. Verse 10 says, and God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. Jacob the supplanter. Jacob the deceiver. Jacob the man who lived by his wits. His name is changed to Israel. Israel means clinging to God. Overcoming. Because you cling to God. Because God is first in your life. Yes, like Jacob of old, maybe we need a new revelation. In verse 11a, also God said to him, I am God Almighty. You see, Jacob needed to know who this God was that Abraham and Isaac had served and who had appeared to him there at Bethel. He needed to know who this God was. And so God appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. And I'm here to tell you this morning that we serve an Almighty God. And so the covenant was renewed. The covenant God had made with Abraham and Isaac, and now it's renewed with Jacob. Verses 11 and 12 says, also God said to him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac I give to you, and to your descendants after you I give this land. That's a covenant. It's a unilateral covenant that God made with Abraham, renewed to Isaac, now renewed to Jacob. A covenant with God's chosen people, the Jews. And God is going to keep that covenant because our God is an almighty God. And our God is a faithful God. God made promises to Jacob. He said that he would multiply him, multiply his people, nations and kings would come from him. And there is the perpetuity of the promise. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give to you, and to your descendants after you, I give this land. God's promises are always faithful and true. The promises that he made to Jacob, the promises he makes to us. God is faithful. And so, First Baptist, Las Colinas, look to the future. What does the future hold for us? Now, Jacob got a new name. I'm not recommending we get a new name. Our name has been changed a number of times over the years. It started out as United Baptist Church of Christ. Bear Creek United Baptist Church of Christ. Then it was changed to Bear Creek Missionary Baptist Church. And then it was changed to Western Heights Baptist Church. And then it was changed to First Baptist Church of Las Colinas. So I don't think we need a new name today. In fact, we need to preach and teach and praise and honor the name of Jesus, over and over again in the New Testament. We pray in His name. We believe in His name. We are saved through His name. We overcome through His name. We praise His name. And it's not something that we do just because we're supposed to. If you didn't hear Brother Dennis Conway this morning, he talked about that in the Sunday school lesson. How we've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ because His name means something. And so, like Jacob, we need a new revelation of God. If I had time, I'd go over to Isaiah chapter 6 and we'd talk about the vision that Isaiah saw there of the Lord. And we need a new vision today. You know, we need to know who our God is. We need to know that He is a God of grace, love, mercy, and provision. He is the God of miracles and power. He is the God who moves heaven and earth and suspends the laws of nature. Our church needs to know that God has not changed. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, He is our God today. He will never leave us. He will help us overcome in whatever challenges we face. And so as we are in this year of 2014, 161 years as a church, the church, like most churches, goes through cycles. You have a growth cycle, a plateau cycle, and then a decline cycle. And many churches, when they go through that decline cycle, just close their doors. And in fact, when we came here in 2001 December, and after a few months, and we just had this little handful of people here, the deacon and his wife came to our house and said, "We need to close the doors of the church. It's hopeless. There's no point. Let's just close the doors of the church." Well, we put it to a vote. The majority said, "Let's keep the doors open. Let's keep going." They left. But God blessed. And so, as we look through the history of the church, and our church has gone through that cycle many times. But God has been gracious and has preserved this church down to this present time. And Brother Billy Duggar, who came a few years ago and has preached, he was the former pastor. He pastored here a couple of years from 1960 to 1962. And he was the pastor when they changed the name from Bear Creek to Western Heights. And his testimony was, when he came to the church, there was just a handful of people. But the Lord blessed, and they built up the church congregation, and they were a thriving church. And filling that little church building that you saw in the slide earlier. Then decline came. Brother Duggar left and decline came. But Brother Joe Eaton, longtime pastor, picture back on the back wall, came to the church, I think around 1974. It's there in the bulletin. At any rate, when he came, again, just a handful of people. But through his faithful ministry, God blessed. Then after about 10 years, Brother Joe thought the Lord was leading him to go to Arkansas. And he left. And after he left, the church plummeted again. So the Lord called Brother Joe back from Arkansas, back to the church, and he pastored another 10 years, and God blessed. So we've gone through those cycles. Well, we're talking about the future. Look to the future. What about our church? What does the future hold? Well, it depends on us largely. But sometimes we get to the place where we're just going through the motions. We enjoy the wonderful fellowship we have here at the church, the wonderful love and bond that we have. But I think that we've come to the place where we need a revival. We need God to come down and change our hearts once again. And some of you know that Brother Robert is going to be preaching a series beginning next Sunday, I hope. We'll be preaching on the seven churches of Asia there in the book of Revelation. And I hope that God, through these messages, will challenge us to get back to being the kind of church God wants us to be. We need revival. But I think that as we face the future, we need to utilize the tools that God has given us. Now, most of you know that I'm about as low-tech as you can get. I'm about as unsocial media as anybody could be. But I recognize the power of the internet and the power of social media. And I believe that what we need to do as a church is to learn to harness that so that we can reach out to the families in the DFW area who are like-minded with us and would like for their families to worship in a church where they'll hear the word preached and we can worship together in a way that will honor and glorify the Lord. And so, I can't do anything about that. But we've got plenty of people in the church who can. And I'm looking forward to seeing what we can do in the future. So that this family integrated church can reach out to more families in the DFW Metroplex. And that, if necessary, I hope that we can just outgrow this building. And we need to multiply and start some other churches like us. And I'm not saying the other churches are not good churches. But we like our church. We think God has chosen us and blessed us. And I look forward to what God is going to do here. So today, as we return to Bethel, I hope that God will help us to remember the past, consider the present, and look to the future. And Brother Robert's going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation.